4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So you pray about that. I'm very excited about it, and I think it's going to be a wonderful time for us on Sunday nights here in just a few weeks. That, remember, my intent, I want you to disciple someone, just your first one. Here's what I know. I just know this so much. You know, in Romans chapter 5, it says, tribulation brings patience. Patience brings experience. And experience brings hope. The problem with most Christians, and probably most in this room, you've never experienced discipling one person, and so that's why it's so scary and not interesting to you, because you're thinking, it ain't all that. I love this when people begin to serve the Lord, right? I just talked to a family recently, and their son came back from camp, and he, you know, and all of a sudden he said, I think I'm called to preach. Maybe. And they're like, whoa. This kid didn't show any interest in the Bible. Now he's called to preach. Here's what I think happened. And he may be called to preach. We'll see. But I said, this will happen. Most people believe this. Most people believe serving the Lord is a dud. That's what most people think. You know how I know that? Because if you didn't think it was a dud, you'd do it. Right? Most people think, oh man, you know, you aren't sucking me into that, pastor. I avoided you. You feel successful. So when people begin to serve the Lord, here's what they are shocked about. They're like, this is awesome. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. And then they go, I must be called to preach, because only those that are called to preach like it. Right? Everybody else is miserable. That's the message we give as Christians. But here's the reality. There's nothing better than to serve our Savior. And let's enjoy it. And I'm telling you, here's what I'm convinced of. If you just disciple one person, you will be begging God to give you the second. And I know when you work for income-driven activity and you're working for money, look, I don't think you can handle a ton of people, but yeah, I think you can do two. You think you can do two? I think you can do two. So we'll just ask the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 13 through 18. I've rambled, and so I've cut up my time, but I'll be disciplined. I'll finish by 1 o'clock. Such a cheap joke. You guys never laugh because you're like, you're already in the twilight zone. It's good. Do you blink? No. It's good. Let's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read this passage, and then we'll do a little review, but we'll jump right into the scriptures this morning. I think it'll be a wonderful thing for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul, speaking to this young church at Corinth, says, we, having the same spirit of faith, he's speaking to this congregation here. He's talking about himself and them. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Title of the message this morning, what it's all about. What it's all about. Paul speaking here to this young church. He just finished this passage where we looked at this last week, and he finishes now, and let's look at where he talks about the reality of life. Look at verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Remember, we talked about the purpose of our bodies, right? He didn't give the angels bodies, but he gave us a body, and the purpose is in these earthen vessels, this fancy dirt, that he made these bodies so that we might glorify and honor Jesus Christ and shine forth his light, right? But then he gets into reality here in verse 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. Life's full of trouble, yet not distressed. You see, that's a believer. Troubled? Remember, that was the picture of the grape being, you know, just almost smashed, but not. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. This is a believer. We are perplexed, even almost mentally disoriented, where we're like, oh, it's just so confusing, but not in despair, right? We never lose hope. It's persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And now he talks about the death in our bodies, right? The death in our bodies is that we are dying. We must, not only are our bodies dying every day, right? We're closer to the grave today than we were yesterday, right? And so he talks about that we must die to self. Look at this. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So Paul talks about this, and Paul talks about this. The way I benefit you is I must die to myself. I must understand that in this body that's fallen apart. Now Leon, you know, he's turned 80 today, but he's feeling footloose and fancy feet free. He's feeling pretty good, you know. And 80 sounds like a big number, but I'm glad he's doing well, right? But you know, it ain't like it used to be, right? And so you got those projects at home and you could just get to them before and now you pay for it for 3 weeks, right? And so these bodies are falling apart, but here's, I think, what the church at Corinth was really looking at, right? The church at Corinth. They were saying, well, that's for you, Paul. And that's what most Christians do today. You all think it's fine and dandy for me. Pastor, you need to be out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. This is not a pep rally for the pastor. That's not what a church service is. But a lot of people think so. I want to encourage you, keep up the good work. You know, I mean, I appreciate that, but it's like, well, we're in this together, and that's what Paul's saying. He tells what all believers, that's what verse 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, because this young church at Corinth said, that's great, Paul, you die, friend, you die to self. That is good, God called you to that. Amen, amen, I'm just glad he didn't meet. So you all pray for me, I'll go out there and do the work, you just hold my arms up, right? I mean, that is not Christianity, he says. We have in the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. All believers respond the same. All believers respond the same. And now here's verse 13. Here's the response. Paul is making sure this young church at Corinth understands this. It's just not for the preacher. He's saying this. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. We believed. We believed the same. And what happens when you believe? You speak. That's the simple truth of Scripture. And I'm telling you, I want you to challenge yourself. I want you to really look at your life. And I know there's fear and trepidation. And I know it can be difficult. I know it can be challenging. And so I want to ask you, has there ever been a time? You say, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I want to ask you, has there ever been a time where you lived to tell others about Jesus Christ? Because what he said is, he says, as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That is an outcome of true Christianity. And so, it's not your personality. Shyness doesn't count. It just may make it a little bit more difficult. But if you believe, you will speak. And so, I know it's challenging. I know it's tough. We can find excuses. But I want to ask you, has there ever been a time where you just had to tell somebody about Jesus? Where you just had to speak and let them know about the death, burial, and resurrection of your great Savior, of your great God, that you say, I love Him? If there's never been a time and you say you're a Christian, I'm telling you, I can't find in the Scriptures that there's any evidence that you're a Christian, because when we believe, we speak. Now, I'm not trying to make people lost here. I don't do that. But I'm just telling you, if you have never, ever in your whole entire Christianity had the time where you've got to tell others about Jesus Christ, then I think what's missing is belief. Belief changes your behavior. And what Paul is saying this, you think this. I know you do. You less so. And I know that. So I'm not, you guys, you agree with me. You agree with me. But then what happens is you disagree with me in reality. You agree that it's just not me. But then when we leave these four walls, it's not many of us, right? But I do love this. I think it is increasing. I love to hear your stories. I love to hear your pursuits. Because I know, I believe this. I believe we're like a ticking time bomb in a good way, ready to go off, because I think all of you say, I so want to be what he preaches. You want to be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ. You want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You want to believe and speak, and you're like, and then it falls apart. But I want to challenge you. If you truly believe, you will speak. And so will I. And so will I. You know, we need to encourage one another. We need to challenge one another. We need to talk to one another. You know, where's my wife? My wife's sitting back there. I love my wife, and she's, you know, I want to tell you, you know, one day, I have all these dreams. One day, I will love when our church is pushing me. That'll be so good, where I can't keep up with you. And there are some things I love that, right? Because here's what I want. I want you to love Jesus so much that I am challenged. My wife and I, we went and we're hanging flyers yesterday for Vacation Bible School. And you know, I know you guys think that I wake up, praise the Lord, let me, you know, I can be as selfish as the next guy. So Deb, you know, she was ready to go. And I love that. So we were doing flyers. And you know, I have my step counter, this wasn't working yesterday. I know I did way more steps when I was doing those flyers. I was like, oh no, I'm a lot more tired than this. And so I was like, are we done? Isn't this bad? This is your pastor. She says, no, let's do a couple more buildings. I'm like, okay, we'll do a couple more buildings. Are we done? No, let's do a couple more buildings. Okay, we're done, not done yet. And then we're done, you know, cause we had an appointment but then she goes, let's go to the pools. You know, I can come up with excuses better than you guys. There's no doubt about it. I've got a million of them. And I'll go, well, you know, here's what I was thinking. I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, well, you know, there'll be immodest ladies there. And hitherto, I cannot go to the pool and tell people about Vacation Bible School. And she's like, no, you need to come. So I go to the first pool and, you know, it was good interaction with the folks. And sure enough, we drive by another pool. Right? And she goes, oh, another pool. And I'm like, I went the wrong way. So we stopped by the next pool and there was great reception and just, it was good. And, you know, I mean, you can talk to people like this. Hey, how you doing? I'm Steve Hall from Hope Baptist Church. And we just want to invite you to Vacation Bible School. Isn't the sky beautiful? But you know what I loved about that is, but this is what churches are for. We need to encourage one another. And if we really believe, we need to speak and we need to encourage one another. It just can't be me. And you all do encourage me, but one day it'll be so neat when it's not push, it's pull. And I'm not saying I'm struggling as a pastor. I'm not. I'm just saying I still feel like, you know, it's a little bit more of a, you know, go, you can do it. And I know I don't feel resistance. I feel like every single person in this room, you say, I want to be what you want us to be. And I want to train you. I want to help you. I want to teach you. I want you to be that. We need to help one another. I remember this. It was a great moment. Leon will remember this. It was Dennis Davidson. He passed away and God was able to bring us in. And Dennis gave his life to Jesus Christ right before he died. And I think you know the story, so I won't go through the story. But Dennis, I had gone and the family had called me and he was in hospice. And Dennis... The last time I had met with Dennis, I'll just give you this. Dennis told me, he said, I believe Jesus and Santa Claus are the same. That's what he told me. And he wasn't being a jerk. I know that sounds like a jerk, but he wasn't being a jerk. He was just matter of fact telling me about life. And he said, I think Jesus and Santa Claus are the same. That's the way I view it. He was crystal clear. So when I left Dennis at his house, I said, Dennis, I'm glad you know what you believe and where you're at. I said, according to the Bible, if you die that way, you leave God no choice. You'll wake up in hell. I didn't say it to be mean either. I know some of you may say, I could never say something. Then great, you tell it your way. And you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. So I get this call and it's the family they said, Dennis won't talk to us. He says, get the preacher. They took a long time. So I went, he gave his life to Christ. I walked in the room. This is after they took him off morphine. So they took him off morphine so he could talk to me. And I said, Dennis, you remember the last time we talked? You said Jesus and Santa Claus were the same. I said, has something changed? And he said, yes. And so then he gave his life to Christ that night. That was a Thursday night. So we had services on Sunday, and we had, it was the first Sunday of the month, so we had Sunday morning, And then we had our lunch, and then we had Sunday afternoon. And Leon comes up to me afterwards, he goes, Pastor, he goes, why don't we go visit Dennis? So, you know, I shared, we were praising the Lord that Dennis had given his life to Christ. And you know, and so this is good. This is a good thing. You know, so just trust me. I'm in the flesh. You have no idea what's going through my mind half the time. And what went through my mind, Leon, was, no, I don't want to. I'm tired. But what I realized is, you know, I thought, you know, I need to say yes. So you encouraged me that day. Remember that night? You remember that night? So this was the cool night. You know, I'm always concerned if does somebody really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on their deathbed. It's happened several times here, and I always love a follow-up, right? I love a follow-up. So we went that night. I thought, well, Dennis is probably going to be on morphine, drugged out, but he was alert, wasn't he? He hadn't spoken in weeks. So I asked him, I said, Dennis, I said, you know, remember the other night? I said, did you truly give your life to Jesus? He hadn't spoken in weeks, and he goes, amen. And we began to talk to him a little bit, and he would squeeze my hand, and then remember his daughter came in. His daughter, the night I was there, that he was on morphine before they took him off, was very cold. I mean, very cold. So she walks in, and I won't name her name, but I said, your dad just told me he's given his life to Jesus, and I know he would want you to believe as well. And he grabbed her arm, pulled her down to the bed, and just began to weep. And then I love this, the mom gave color commentary. She said, that's because your dad wants you to be saved. but I say all that because if it wasn't for Leon encouraging me, hey, Pastor, let's go visit Dennis. We would have missed out on the great blessing that night, right? You see, but we need to encourage one another, and if we believe, we will speak, right? And so some of you may feel alone. Let's help one another. You say, you know, I don't know about this discipleship stuff. Well, maybe would you do it with me? Get a friend to help you, right? You don't have to be on an island by yourself, but we believe, we speak. That's what all believers do. Second thing, I want you to see verse 14. Second thing, all believers, this is the case. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We all have the same hope. We respond the same and we have the same hope. This is important. This is absolutely important. It should bring great stability to us as believers. Remember this. If you're a believer, our hope never changes. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will spend eternity with Him, and that one day we're going to get a new body. So as our bodies are falling apart, as our bodies are deteriorating, we know this, that one day I'm going to get a new body. And that's encouraging. And so as bad as it gets on this side of heaven, we know this, that we should never lose our hope. We should always keep our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be something that encourages us on a daily basis, because this body is a falling apart, isn't it? And what we've got to remember is the two things that I see here that are consistent with believers is when we believe, we speak, we tell others about Jesus, and we have the same hope. And our hope is only in Jesus Christ. Now, this is important. I pray your hope isn't in anything but Jesus. There's so much mixture of that today. There's so much of Christianity that you think a little bit of it has to do with you, and it doesn't. Let me tell you how you can maybe understand this. Who are the group that you just turned your stomach? Who are the group that you just, you know, you walk by and you're like, I think I'll go this way. You know, you're like, my children will never be like that. Right? I mean, who are those people? You see, here's the problem. You think you're better than them. And I think I'm better than them, don't I? I think I'm better than a heroin addict. What about you? Are you? You ever say this? I can't believe someone would do that. You think you're better than them. Who is it that turns your stomach? You think you're better than them. That's no place in the life of a Christian. You understand that? You know why I'm not a heroin addict? The grace of God. But you know what I think most of the time? I think I'm not a heroin addict because I'm smarter than those people and I'm a little bit better than them. And you think that too. Yes, you do. Say, yes, I do. Yes, that's good. You're like, man, this guy, you know, he's over the top. But we all think that. You see, that's a problem with Christians, is we think there are people that aren't as good as us. And what that is somewhat, we have, I don't think our faith is in our works. But we as Christians that know the truth, we actually think we're better than some people. And that is why people don't want to listen to us. Because we have an aura of, we're better than you. We ought to have a humility that says, no, my hope is in Jesus Christ and nothing else. The only hope I have is has nothing to do with me. And let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he did. That's our only hope. But we get so caught up into ourselves that we forget that. Remember this. We all speak the same thing and we all have the same hope. Now, I want to show you here. This is fun. Look at verse 15. Paul speaking to this young church here. He says this. For all things are for your sakes. Man, I love this. All things were created for us. You know, isn't that good? That's good. Now, we're gonna park on that a little bit here. And so all things were created for us, right? And so here's the problem. There are many that do we just stop there. But see, we gotta understand this, but let's just enjoy this for a little bit. All things were created for us. Listen to Genesis chapter 1 verse 6. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. He's given us all this. He created all the trees, all the plants, all the fruit-bearing trees. He's created that for us. He says, you're going to have dominion over all the animals, all the fish of the sea, and not to be abusive, but he says, I've made this for you. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm excited about this. He says, charge them that are rich in this world, and that's every single person in this room. We're the rich people. I'm not even talking spiritually. Every person in this room, you're in the top 3% of the wealthy of the world. Every person in this room. You may not feel like it, but you and I don't know what poor is. You may think you know what poor is, but the poor in the United States of America are in the top percentile of wealthy in the world. And so he says this in 1 Timothy 6:7, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so here's the important thing. Let's just remember this. God has given us all things. He's given us all things to enjoy, and we should rejoice over that. Isn't that good? I mean, I think we've seen this in some of my messages recently, and this is the problem with Christianity. Most Christians look miserable. Most Christians, I think, are miserable. They'll find something to be unhappy about, something to be miserable about, and if everything's going okay, they'll still find it. I mean, if there was a reward for that, it'd be like, well, thank you. I appreciate being the most negative person in the world and able to find the bad in any situation and, you know, 3 years in a row running, thank you. You know, I mean, you think there's a big reward. Because we don't enjoy life. I'm telling you, did you enjoy yesterday? Was it beautiful? I mean, yesterday, I mean, it was an outstanding day. I mean, you know, even though, you know, I was glad to go out hanging door hangers uphill both ways barefoot. And, but I was glad to do that, right? And so it was such a beautiful day that, I mean, it felt like a treat. And I love that the Lord's just dealing with me. Do you know this? What do you think with me? Do you think it's easier for me to be positive or negative? Negative. Negative. I've raised 3 kids. It's their fault. And it's easier to be negative than positive. I can see the wrong in everything. You see, I don't think that's what God would have me to do. He says this, I've created all things for you. I want you to enjoy it. Now here's the problem. If I stopped right there, I think I would misrepresent truth. You see, I think that's where a lot of preaching falls short today. Here's what we want to hear. It's all for you. It's all about you. It's about me. And there is a place for that. God said He created it all for us, and that's truth. But if I stopped there, then I think you would leave with a misunderstanding and a bad perspective, because you would say, I'm loving life right now. Absolutely loving life right now. I thought I was going to get you to smile. If you weren't, I was going to go further. And so you know what? And I must be right with God, because life is good. and I'm loving it, right? And so I want you to enjoy life. I want you to love life. But why did God give us all things? Now here's what I love. It tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Many just want to stop and say, it's all about you, and it's all for you. Why did God give us everything? He tells us in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, or that means overflow to the glory of God. All things were created for us and for God's glory. And so I want you to know this. God gave us all things so that we might, with all things and through all things, bring Him glory. You see, that's the important part of this, is it's not about us. But this is a delightful part. God didn't. His plan is not misery. His plan is not struggle. But I'm telling you, life is a struggle. These bodies are falling apart, and life can be hard. But what we're here for, remember, is He said, I've made all things for you, and I've made it so that we might bring glory to God, and that's why we live. You see, I tell everybody this. Will everybody bring glory to God? They will. Absolutely. In the end, all will redound, overflow to the glory of God. You know this verse, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They will confess. And I know you're like, man, why are you picking that? Just let me go. But you know what? I think that would have been the most popular answer, right? Because God will receive glory. And here's the key. You and I, we have the inside scoop. And so that's why we need to tell the world. The world doesn't understand this. We were created for the glory of God. Not for selfish consumption. Not to live for ourselves. We're created for the glory of God, and we got the inside scoop. Then we need to look at our days, our weeks, our months, our years. Are we living for the glory of God? It's about Him. He's created all things for us, that we might bring glory to Him through those things and through these feeble bodies. It's for God's glory. That's why we live. Now, I love, there's two descriptions here for God's glory through us by two things. Look at this in verse 15, by two things. One is the abundant grace, and the second is thanksgiving. Look at this. Let's read verse 15 in its entirety. For all things are for your sakes. Why are all things for our sakes? That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or overflow to the glory of God. God gives us all things that His abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Two things. I believe this. How do we glorify God? It's by recognizing God's abundant grace. Abundant grace. Remember what grace is? My scholars in the front row? Pause here. I'm going to test these. Any second row scholars know what grace is? If you did, I would, hey, you can sit up in the front now. Any second row scholars know what grace is? I know, you just don't want to say. You know what grace is? What is grace? Whoa. Oh man. Just saw Mama and Papa sit up a little straighter there. Amen. Why don't you just quote a scripture there? You know, how about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? You know, but I'm just teasing you. He said, getting something we don't deserve, right? That's what grace is. Now, what do you think about this? So, rightfully positioned in the front row. Thank you for being there. Now, I want you to don't get the big head. Ask your parents what that means later. And so, now I want to ask you this. What do you think abundant grace is? Abundant grace. You can go sit in the second row. No, I'm just kidding. What is it? A lot of it. Right? A lot of undeserved favor, right? I want you to know this. The Christian life. We can complain. We can kick and scream. These bodies will say, oh, I'm falling apart. And I'm telling you, it's so difficult. The reason why there's so much attention, not only in this chapter, but throughout the scriptures, is our bodies will change our entire spirit, will change our entire mood, will change our entire focus if we let it. Because these bodies are so dominant with us. But what we've got to do is Get off the pain and get on the abundant grace. God's been a lot of good to us. A lot of undeserved favor. He's been really good to us. It'll change our minds. We're going to have bodies that ache. Bodies that fall apart. Bodies that have problems. We got to understand that. But God's given us all things that through the abundant grace and through what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Because you know what? You won't be thankful if you don't really know the abundant grace. You won't thank the Lord if you don't know what you should be thanking Him for. So you've got to review the abundant grace, right? You just pray for Marissa. I see her all the time, right? I can't empathize. I try to sympathize, but I'm not even close, right? It's not just morning sickness. They need a new word. It's 24-hour sickness, right? And then what she told me, it was even before she got pregnant because she's married to Stephen. Just kidding. You know, I mean, how you doing today? Remember how I told you? The same, better, or worse? Better, you liar. I'm just kidding. And I've told her this because she's miserable 24 hours a day. She's, you know, some of you ladies that had the constant sickness with your pregnancies, right? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine always just feeling like, and I'm not going to make the sound, because that would be a terrible chain reaction in this room, because we have children. Feeling like you're going to throw up. I can't imagine that. And she says, it gets worse when I preach. And you know, it's dominating with you, isn't it? And this is a challenge. So if you allow me to use you as an example, it's so dominating because it's not something you're used to. So you don't have this great experience. I know you have other children, but you forget about it, right? There's something that happens, they say, in the mind that you forget all that you went through that makes you do this again, right? And it's of God, right? Because no woman would have a second baby after they have a first unless God says, you know, it's kind of like Men in Black. I don't remember. Let's have another one. And that's of God. That's of God, right? So I can't imagine what you're going through. And it is, you don't have to shake your head, yes or no. I'm imagining this. It's affecting you spiritually. And here's why. I hope it's not. Because when something dominates me physically, I forget about the spiritual. And if I can encourage you, because it's so difficult, so hard, right? I can't imagine just being sick all the time. It's, if you can just, the abundant grace of God is overwhelming in your life, isn't it? And recount that in your mind so that you can overflow to the glory of God and be thankful. Right? If you're discouraged this morning, if you are overwhelmed this morning, and I mean, my heart goes out to Marissa, and I mean, I know I've made it publicly known, and I can't imagine that. Right? And I think of Sister Schultz, right? I mean, she gets her knee fixed and then it's her back, right? It's gotta be overwhelming. You're thinking, well, what's up with that? Right? And it has to affect you spiritually. And I'm not criticizing you. I'm just telling you that's the normal thing unless we really try to have some discipline and say, I'm gonna focus on the abundant grace of God, on the undeserved favor of God, and I've gotta be thankful, and that's easier preached than lived, isn't it? You're like, man, that's so easy to preach. Why don't you just try it? Try it for a couple days. Why don't you try, you know, sickness for 3 months? I want to encourage you that we're here for the glory of God. And whatever God allows in our life is for His glory and for His wonderment. And now let's finish with this. I want you to see this. All this I've said today, all believers respond the same. They have the same hope. All things were created for us, for God's glory, through abundant grace and thanksgiving. So what? So, you know, I don't say that disrespectfully. I think every time you study the scriptures, you need to get a hold of the so what. Why did God give this to us? Okay, all right, got it. What do I do with that? Now, let's see what we do with that. Let's look at verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, this old body is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is the perspective, our bodies, it's light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen are eternal. First thing is, so we faint not. We don't quit. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. It uses the same phrase. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul's given them two reasons in chapter 4 why we shouldn't quit. One is, God has blessed us with great opportunity. God has blessed us with great privilege. God has blessed us with great ministry. God has blessed us with a world that's lost and dying that we get to tell them about Jesus and they don't know about it. I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 people that I talk to, they have no clue. We had lunch yesterday, and they're super nice waiter, and we were down at the boathouse at Montgomery Inn, and super nice guy, and I talked to him afterwards, and I said, man, you are one of the best waiters I've ever had. He kept up with me on the Diet Mountain Dew. You know, I didn't realize that Montgomery Inn had Diet Mountain Dew. That's another reason to go to Montgomery Inn, right? And so they actually put an IV in me so I didn't have to get refills. And so he did an awesome job, and I said, you are one of the best waiters we've ever had. But I said, you know what? You're not going to go to heaven because you're a great waiter. I said, do you know what God requires to go to heaven? And he talked about his goodness a little bit when I said, no, your goodness and my goodness will send us straight to hell. The people that we were eating with, his shoulders, super nice guy. Nobody had ever told him that before. Got to give him a track, and I said, you call me. He said he's going to call me. Nice guy. Nice guys will go to hell. Because they've broken God's law, and God is holy and just. And let's not quit. What a great ministry we have. God's brought people into our lives so we can tell them about Jesus. You see, it's the great ministry why we faint not, but it's also this. Remember this? He says, this is why we don't faint. We don't faint because of this. Because we know this. We know that when we believe, we speak. We know this. We have the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this, that we're living for the glory of God. Because of this, I'm living for the glory of God. If I quit, that won't bring glory to God. And so what we need to do is keep on keeping on. The devil will tell you, he'll tell you you're a loser. He'll tell you you're not worth it. He'll tell you, some of you, you've been really, you know, I mean, if the truth be known, you haven't told somebody about Jesus for over a year, and so you feel like a misfit. I want to tell you, you're not alone. What the devil wants to say is, you know what, there's no recovery for you. You know, just don't even try. You know what, try again. And you know what, because we know the great ministry, because we know our purpose, that we live for the glory of God, we faint not. Let's not quit. Let's not quit. My greatest heartbreak in the ministry is not your problems. Your problems don't bother me. In fact, I know this will sound weird. I love your problems. Because I know a great God. And here's the thing. I've gotten real comfortable with this. I can't help you. I'm sorry. And I think most of you believe that. But I know who can. And I know he cares. And I know we got a people that'll pray. And I know we can go to the Lord. And don't you ever worry that I can't help you. Jesus Christ can. I want you to be encouraged. Let's not quit. The devil wants you to quit. He wants you to check out. He wants you to say, well, that's for everybody else, just not me. We won't quit because we know we have this great ministry and we know it's for the glory of God. We must understand, why are we here? We know why we're here. We're here for the glory of God. Everything we do, everywhere we go, is for the glory of God. You know, I told you, you know, when I give my kidney, I'm going to find out what everybody believes before they operate on me. I'm going to say, well, what do you believe about this? Do you believe in evolution? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You know why I have 2 kidneys in the exact same place? It wasn't luck. And I want to know. I'm telling you, I want Kathy Berger's anesthesiologist. He was a believer, man. He was praising the Lord. I love that. I'm like, man, I want you in there. And so I want to find out. You know, I know this. I know why we live. Why we live. It's for the glory of God. Let's not quit. Then secondly, it's this. For our light affliction. That's really what the problems with our bodies are. They're light affliction. It is so dominating. I know. It is so overwhelming. The troubles with our body. But it's light affliction. It's but for a moment. And this is what we have to do. Verse 18. And I'm almost finished. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to see what the world doesn't see. We can't expect lost people to understand spiritual things. You and I, though, should understand eternal things. It's not what we see. Most of our lives are spent on the things that we see, not on the things we don't see. What we have to do, we have to be about spiritual things. We have to be about the Lord's work. We have to be about serving the Lord in all things. You know, I'll tell you, I have an opportunity. One of my Bible studies is with Justin and Marissa. I enjoy that, right? And so Justin's a prison guard, right? And, you know, Justin's a man, right? And it's like, you know, I mean, I think he puts a little before he walks in. How you doing? You know, and, you know, Justin, he works out. He likes to be a man. I love a manly man, right? I love a manly man. And so, you know, he's working in that prison, and, you know, and Justin, it's rough. You pray for Justin. He sees things, hears things that you and I don't, and I don't want to hear about it. That's not easy. But I told him he has a mission field. Now, he and I have been having a long conversation for a while, and we had it again this past week, and I said, Justin, you have to get soft. He said, oh no, Pastor, you don't understand. I said, you have to show compassion. You have to show tenderness. You have to show kindness. You have to be vulnerable to these people. And that'll make you trust in the Lord. Because he's like, nah, they'll attack me. And so then we got down to that, you know, and I said, well, how many people have attacked you since you've been there? One. And, you know, I mean, that's more than I would want. And, you know, and you've got to subdue them. And, you know, it's not like, you know, you say, you know, in the love of Jesus, you know, just subdue them and take care of them. And I said, it's fine. I said, it's what happened once. I said, but you got to understand this, Justin. And you and I need to understand this. Think about these guys in the prison. You think there'd be a big care if a prison happened to blow up and everybody died? I think we'd be like, that was the judgment of God. Saving us a lot of taxpayer money. Oh, we wouldn't admit that, but nobody cares about the prisoners. You've heard it. Lock the door, throw away the key. They all know nobody cares. Nobody calls. Nobody cares. And I told Justin, I said, you're a prison guard for eternal purposes. I said, the fringe benefit is they happen to pay you, just like a pastor would get paid. I said, you're a prison guard for eternal purposes. I said, you know, my advice might not always be right, but you're a prison guard, I told him, for eternal purposes. You work at a daycare for eternal purposes. It just so happens that they pay you to do eternal things. That is amazing. But we reverse it, don't we? We think we're there to get money, and if the eternal happens to pop up, fringe benefit, bonus. No, what the Bible says is, we see things that aren't seen, so that we're focused on those and just not the things that are seen. Do you understand that? What things are all about, it's not about the temporary, it's about the eternal. And I know it's a battle every day, and these bodies are a great distraction for us. The aches, the pains, the difficulties, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's all a distraction. But by God's grace, we'll never forget we're here for His glory and we'll have an eternal perspective. I beg you, ask God this morning, will you make me more eternally focused this week than last week? For His glory, not ours. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Bible. I thank You for this passage.